So I had a solution. This is indoor composting with worms. And all I could see was, I'm an avid gardener and composter. And so I know I see organic matter and I look at it different than most people. People think of it as trash or something you throw away. For me, it's a resource that to make something better, like to make more soil, make more nutrient-rich soil. So I set out, and my goal actually was not about the soil, it was about waste management.
I'm George Siegel, and this is the Tell Us How to Make It Better podcast. Every week, we introduce you to people who are working on real-world problems and providing actual solutions. Tell Us How to Make It Better is partnering with The Readiness Lab, the home for podcasts, webinars, and training in the field of emergency and disaster services. Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining me on this week's Tell Us How to Make It Better podcast. Every week on this podcast, I try to introduce you to somebody who has identified a problem, and rather than just sit around and complain about it, they're actually doing something to try to make it better. Well, my guest today is working on a couple of things that really can make a big difference with people. One has to do with something that could really help the environment and the amount of stuff we throw away. And the other has to do with laughter. Are you stressed out and find that stress is really weighing you down in life? Well, after you listen to today's guest, you might have a way of reducing that stress. My guest today is Kathy Nesbitt. She's a health and wellness advocate and founder of Kathy's Crawly Composters and Kathy's Chuckle Club. Kathy, welcome.
Thank you, George. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you. You know, I found you through the internet where it was about the crawly creatures and the composting. And I remember when I was a little kid, I loved worms. Now, as I've gotten older, I'm not as crazy about them. When you were a kid, were you into playing with stuff like that? I mean, how did you evolve into something like that?
I was not. No.
Okay. So how did you end up doing that?
I believe it was why I was put on Earth.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just saw a big problem. I'm located just north of Toronto in Canada, largest city in the country. And in 2002, our landfill closed. It filled up, and although Canada's second largest country in the world, we couldn't find a place to site a new landfill. And are you ready? We started to export our garbage to the U.S.
Nice. We appreciate that when that happens, by the way.
Yeah.
We need more garbage here.
Right. Well, we paid a lot for the privilege, by the way. So it was bad for both countries. And I'm not talking about the people. This is the government's bad business ideas. Sure. It was 1,000 trucks a week. 200 every day, like honking 18 wheelers full of garbage. Yikes. So I had a solution. This is indoor composting with worms. And all I could see was, I'm an avid gardener and composter. And so I know I see organic matter and I look at it different than most people. People think of it as trash or something you throw away. For me, it's a resource that to make something better, like to make more soil, make more nutrient-rich soil. So I set out, and my goal actually was not about the soil. It was about waste management.
So did you have to do some studying? Did you have to learn about that to be good at it? Like if I decided tomorrow I wanted to start doing that, I probably would have to Google a bunch of things, get some books, figure out what the heck I'm even doing. How did that process work for you?
Yeah, thank you. Beautiful. Yeah, it is a process. Absolutely. So 93, I bought my house, moved out of Toronto into a smaller place. And a teacher friend in 93 asked me to look after her worm bin for the summer. I was afraid of worms. I was like, ugh, worms in my house, get out. But I think that we should do things for ourselves. People will be like, oh, you won't like that. Oh, good. Thanks for saving me the time. Right. So I took on the challenge as an avid gardener. I knew the value of the worm compost. I just didn't want to do the process. So I took on the challenge. It was horrible. I had a house full of fruit flies and I was like, I'm never doing this again. I kept the worms alive for my friend. Thank goodness. and then at the end of that summer, I was like, okay, that good. I tried that. That's it. I didn't like it. And then, so 93, fast forward, I got my psych degree in 2000, got a job at a group home working with challenge folks and they didn't compost. So they had 10 homes and a farm and a vocational program. And I was like, wow, why don't they compost? So when I spoke to management about composting, they said, we don't need the fertilizer because we have cows. So they had the cow patties to fertilize the gardens. And I was like, wow, people don't even connect what they're doing. Like they're creating all this food waste over here and then paying over here to get rid of it. when they could just make something better, right? Worms are the original alchemists. And then the greenhouse manager said, "Hey, what about vermicomposting?" And I don't know if you've ever done anything that you're like all excited about and then it doesn't work out like you think it's going to.
All
And
the
you're like,
time.
I'm right. And you're like, I'm
Yeah.
never doing that again. But then somebody says, "Hey, George, why don't we?" And you're like, "Oh no, I did that. I don't want to do that again." That's what happened. I got that feeling. I'm like, oh, no, been down that road. But I was like, wait a minute. This is an institution. They're not getting worms tomorrow. Let me do some research. So you're right. I did some research and then I discovered the magic of these worms, red wiggler worms. They eat half their weight per day in food scraps. They turn garbage into black gold. They have five hearts each. They live up to 10 years. I mean, all these things. I was like, oh, and I heard that a pound of worms and their descendants could transform a ton of organic waste in a year. And the average Canadian, I'll say a Canadian slash American family produces a ton of organic waste in a year. So I was like, wow, every family needs a pound of worms. And I'm just the one who put a pound of worms in every house. The challenge was, or one of the challenges was, that I didn't have any business acumen. I don't have anybody in my family that's in business. None of my friends were in business. So it was not that it was a solo mission. It was just I felt on purpose and people needed what I had. So I set out.
Now, so if I wanted to do that in my garage, is that do you need a lot of room to do that? Do you just need a big pail? How do you keep the worms in there? I mean, how difficult is it for somebody to actually put this plan into action?
Very easy. Oh my gosh, it's so simple. They're the wonderful, most wonderful pet. And so, yes, any container will do. Florida, beautiful. You could do it in your garage, absolutely, year round. So we'll say a Rubbermaid container for the do-it-yourselfers. All you need is a carbon nitrogen mix. So the carbon is the bedding, shredded paper, leaves, straw, cardboard, all your kind of browns, and the nitrogen is your food scraps. You add both of those materials in, add your worms in. It would have a lid on it, some holes for its aerobic process. And then, yeah, you just set about feeding your worms. Not really much to do. You feed them maybe once or twice a week. Feed them and leave them, right? They live in the dark. They don't want you to play with them. Don't take them out and, you know, pet them. And
Walk,
no,
don't walk them or anything.
no, don't
No.
talk to them. They don't like
Okay.
vibration.
And does it smell?
Ah, no, it does not. It's aerobic process, meaning with oxygen, like aerobic exercise. If it smells bad, it's like a built-in mechanism. The oxygen gets converted to methane. So if it smells bad, it's methane. So we can't breathe methane, neither can the worms.
Okay. Yeah, well, it sounds interesting. But now, interestingly, that's not even the main reason you came on, because I always ask my guests, tell me what the problem is that you are working on or that you've identified and what you're doing to make it better. You didn't even come back with the worm thing. You came back with stress and how dangerous that is for us. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so it was about 2012. It's the 20th anniversary of my worm business. And many times over the years, people had said, "Ooh, worms in the house." And I wasn't listening. 2012, one more person said it, and I heard it. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so hard. Why do I care so much? And I really was questioning my motive. And then I was about to doff my worm mission, and I was introduced to laughter yoga. So that was 2012. I've been laughing full on for 10, over 10, well, 10 years now. And it helped save me in my worm business. And I realized that, and then COVID came and everything got shut down. And so especially during this time that we're in, we really need this. We had a mental health crisis before. It's just much bigger now because so many people have been isolated. It's a global thing that's happening. And yeah, when you're in it, so I really do. The problem that I'm solving is waste management, keeping things out of landfill. I really want people to care about the planet, but if you're in a mental crisis, you can't care about anything other than yourself.
Now, when you say laughter and yoga, I always laugh when I think of yoga because it looks like something that would be so ridiculously simple. And when I've taken some classes, I'm sweating like a pig. I mean, I find it very challenging, and it's not easy to do. So that's where the laughter comes in for me. How do you mix the two, in your opinion?
So the laughter yoga, it isn't actually doing yoga and laughing. The yoga part is the deep diaphragmatic breathing and the practice of the laughter. So just deciding to do it. And it's not, I didn't make this up. It's a real thing. Started in 1995 by a medical doctor, Dr. Madan Kateria, and his goal is world peace through laughter. It's a global movement. I think we're over 120 countries now where there's laughter clubs. And during COVID, I'm being called more for laughter too. I'm getting more paid gigs for laughter than worms right at this time.
So, have you ever done stand-up comedy?
I'm working on a show. Thank you for
Really?
that.
So,
It's about my worms.
okay.
Because I feel like I'm still meeting people 20 years in. I chose media as my marketing strategy. I've had over 300 articles, TV, radio. I have a documentary. And I'm still meeting people that haven't heard about it. And I say, without awareness, action is impossible. So I decided that maybe I should just do a stand-up show. You can imagine selling worms by the pound for 20 years. I have a lot of stories.
Sure.
A lot. And so I thought I would bring the fun to it. So I did a stand-up course, I did an improv course, and I still wasn't ready. I was like, what if they don't laugh? And then I became trained as a laughter leader, and I was like, now I have the trifecta for a successful stand-up show. 'Cause we'll start with laughter yoga. You know, George, if you go to a comedy show, you want to laugh. You
Yeah.
paid to laugh, in fact. So if the comic is not funny, it's really hard. It's like, come on, buddy. We want to laugh.
And every great comic that I've heard interviewed talks about they have bombed before. It's not, I've tried it a couple times, and I think I have so much respect for people who can do that and are so good at it. And there's a lot of great ones. That's difficult because it's those moments of silence after you say something that you've worked on that you think is funny, and there's people just looking at you like, huh? That's a lonely feeling.
It's a lonely feeling. It is, yes. I would compare it today to doing Zoom workshops where everyone has their camera off.
Yeah, that's a little frustrating when you can't actually see the other people. And Zoom is such a, I actually did my first podcast last week where I went to the location and interviewed the people. And that's the way I've came up in media is being in person. Zoom is so impersonal. It's very difficult. If you and I were sitting in a room or if you and I were out at the composting bin, I think we would have a completely different podcast.
Absolutely. Yes, agreed.
So
But
it's
thank
tough to.
goodness for the technology.
Oh, absolutely. You know, this is better than nothing, right? So what advice do you have to people that are under stress? I mean, you know, it's one thing to say, hey, you just got to laugh a little bit. But, you know, as we talked about in the beginning before we went on, I'm in Tampa, Florida. As we're recording this podcast, we have a major hurricane heading towards us. And there's a lot of people that sadly are going to get it pretty bad from this. How do you find laughter in bad situations?
Yeah, it's essential because it's like a release. It's like when people laugh in inappropriate situations, like at a funeral or whatever, because there's so much pressure built up, and then it's just that release. And once somebody starts laughing, it's contagious, and everybody gets to feel that kind of euphoric moment where you're just like, oh, thank goodness I'm not holding that in. And so we're not laughing at the situation during this time, during this COVID time. Laughter yogis jumped online, and you can laugh 24/7 in a laughter club. And that's why you need a laughter club, because it is challenging to laugh by yourself, like just laughing, ha ha ha. There's no jokes or comedy. It's not, and if you're watching a show, if you're la doing your laughter yoga, like just laughing, ha ha ha, you're going to miss the next line. Or if you're at a comedy club, you'll get kicked out because you're making too much noise,
Or the
too much
comedian will start
laughter.
picking on you.
Right? Exactly. Yeah, so this is it's in a laughter session. It's a cardiovascular workout. Our diaphragm is attached to all of our organs. So when we laugh, we're moving our diaphragm, which is like internal jogging. You need about 10 to 15 minutes of sustained belly laughter to get the effects. But there are so many benefits. It's the fastest happiness hack. Gets us out of stress in a moment, at least for the moment. It doesn't take away the problem, but it certainly makes it easier to cope with. And I'd love to give an example since you talked about this big weather event that's coming. There's a documentary called Laughology by Albert Nuremberg about laughing. And he was going to interview Madan, Dr. Kataria, in India. It was the day after the Mumbai bombings. And so he said, well, I guess we're not filming today. And Dr. Kataria said, oh, we must. We must do this because we need to laugh more than ever, not at what's happened, because of otherwise we're afraid, like cowering in the corner. We need to laugh and connect because our brain requires 25% more oxygen than the rest of our body as an operating principle. When we're stressed, we're not breathing properly, so our brain's not getting what it needs. And like, ever lost your keys and you're flapping around? Right? You're never finding your keys or phone, glasses in that state. You need to stop, take a deep breath, laugh it off, apologize to everyone, and then you'll find them.
Yeah, I mean that's a, if that's a great way to get off of panic. I mean, I always tell people, especially as people are preparing for a storm, you want to get your work done first because in that panic moment, it's hard to get things done when you're stressed and you got to find those keys, when you have to get something done, bring furniture in, do something at the last minute. You're almost paralyzed at that point. And so if you had a way to relax, I imagine that could be a tremendous asset.
Yes, and when we're laughing, we're secreting the love drugs, right? Ever heard laughter's the best medicine?
I have heard that.
Right? Everyone's heard that. It's a universal expression, but it's true. So I say, have you had your daily dose? Dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins versus cortisol when we're stressed. So when we're stressed, cortisol is careening through our body to get us going, right? To bring all that fluid to our muscles so we can escape. But nothing's in our brain. Like most of the stuff leaves our brain because we don't need to think about something. We just need to escape.
Do you ever see, did you ever watch the Mary Tyler Moore Show? Was that big in Canada? There was an
Yes.
episode where she was at a funeral. I think it was for Chuckles the Clown, and she started laughing uncontrollably, and it just completely derailed what was going on in the funeral. But it was one of the funniest scenes I've ever seen in a TV show.
It's absolutely that's what I was talking about with, at the funeral or at an inappropriate time, you start laughing and it's just a release. It's not laughing at, it seems inappropriate, but it really is not. It's just a natural, like a almost a survival mechanism almost.
It can be painful, though. When I worked in the TV news business, there was a few times where we started laughing during the broadcast and we couldn't stop. And, you know, people that are just flipping the dial and coming by that see these idiots on camera laughing and have no idea what the reason was that triggered that, it could be really uncomfortable to stop that laughing. It's hard to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, blooper
Yeah, that definitely made some blooper reels. One of them when I was in San Antonio actually was written up by one of the media critics calling the news team immature for laughing. So I guess you got to take the good with the bad. So what advice do you have for somebody who, what would be the first step? I know you have these online classes, I guess you would say. So I'm feeling really stressed. I need to find a way to kick that. What are you going to tell me to do?
Yeah, I'm gonna tell people to come to a laughter, go to a laughter club, and plan to attend more than once because the first time will be weird, right? Whenever we do something new, it's awkward because we don't know what to do, we don't know what's gonna happen, and all of that. A laughter club is no different. It is awkward because we've been trained that we need to laugh at something, like somebody tripping or or like slapstick comedy or a joke or something. This is intentional laughter exercises designed to make us feel good. So the laughter leader, guides you through that. There's clapping and chanting. So the clapping, you clap palm to palm, so you're activating the meridians, and it's ho ho ha 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 or 1 2 1 1 1 2 1 2 3. And then there's just little games. So little games to inspire the laughter. And it's just moving around and connecting. So eye contact, and we do feed off each other. It's just energy, right? So it's just high vibe energy that just we feel good when we're in it.
Now, are you doing those in person now, or you still do those over Zoom?
My online club is on Zoom. It's 9:30 Tuesday, every Tuesday at 9:30, and I get people Eastern, and I get people from around the world. But I am doing in-person engagements as well. It's amazing to me how people are finding me. I know the internet, but I just think when you're on purpose, I thought I was here for the worms, and I am. I'm a really great laugher, and I'm really good at it. And I've incorporated tapping, emotional freedom technique, brain gym, and other healing modalities because my whole objective is to help people get out of stress. And my very soft spot, my demographic that I really love working with is special needs. So I've had a year project. Every Friday we meet in person, and it's so beautiful. Chatty Cathy is my name. And so I can only imagine if you're nonverbal. And so your whole life, people are telling you, here, eat this, go here, wear this, do this. So how frustrating. No wonder there are behaviors. People get frustrated and act out because that's not what they want, but they can't verbalize it. So the laughter is a magic thing. And I would love to give an ex example of one of my experiences.
Sure.
I was going in. There's an organization called L'Arche. It was started by a gentleman in France. He actually just passed, working with special needs, and he's created these wonderful supportive networks. So I was invited to come and do laughter yoga, and so I would go. I think we were doing monthly at that organization, and there was a nonverbal young man who would come every time. He loved it. And we did a balloon blowing up exercise. So put your hands and you blow up as you breathe. And as we got the full balloon, when we got to the top, this gentleman that doesn't talk said, bang. And we got like silence in the room from all the staff. We were just like, oh my gosh. Wow. And so I feel like his brain got oxygenated. So he was able to verbalize what he was feeling at that moment. It was really a beautiful moment.
No, that's awesome. There's so few times we get to really feel like, wow, this made a difference what I was doing, and you see something work. That had to feel really good.
Oh, it's so beautiful. I've had so many wonderful. I could talk just about the experiences that I've had with people who. Some people come, they're very serious, arms are crossed, and they're not smiling, and they're there because somebody brought them to the event, and they're and I kind of focus on them because I just think it takes so much energy not even to smile,
Yeah.
like to be like, nope, So it kind of makes me laugh, because we are very serious society, right? Oh, we can't laugh. There's too much things going on. Yes, there's always going to be more things heaped on that can make us afraid. And we can either choose to be paralyzed by the fear, as you said about when you got to move furniture when it's storm's coming or something, right? Or we can kind of go with it. This is going to ha things are going to happen. So we can, as long as we have tools, and the laughter, I believe, makes us more resilient. I feel much more resilient. And I would love to give an example of driving. Everyone
Sure.
has driving things, right? So rather than doing road rage, here's something that I would suggest to people because it's way better. So when I get cut off, because and it's never personal. We take it personal, like, hey, why did they cut me off? But they're not like, hey, there's George, let's get in front of him.
You
So
hope
when
not.
people, right? Yeah, you hope
The
not. Oh, there's that guy, that kooky guy from the. So
podcast.
if I get cut off, I'm like, oh, good. It primes me to do my laughter yoga. I'm like, time to do laughter yoga. And I flail my arms around. I'm like, ah, I look like a kooky nut in the car. And the person that cut me off, because when you do, when you've cut somebody off, you know that you have, but you needed to do it. Like you had to get in there. So they're looking in their rear view mirror and they can see that I'm like, so it looks like I'm mad, but I'm laughing. So I arrive at my destination, all oxygenated, all like relaxed, and all the love drugs careening through my body, and that person's stressed, and I actually get more space because they think I'm mad. They think So instead of road raging, just laugh, and it will change your life.
Sure. And I think it's an example of how I can't control what you do, but I can control what I do. And if
How
you
you
can
react.
tamp down those emotions and calm down in those situations, it can probably make a huge difference.
Yes, because when we get stressed, again, back to the cortisol and our heart's racing, and then it takes time. I think I heard one time, like when you get angry, it takes like 5 hours for your body to calm back down. And the reverse is true. When you have a laughter fit with your friends, whatever, that experience, that those benefits last in your body for hours.
Excellent. Now you seem like such an entrepreneurial person with the two things that we were talking about today. So with this podcast, I like to encourage people, if you have an idea or something that you want to do to make it better, to improve the world or do something positive, instead of just complaining about it, what would you tell them to give them that boost to get going, similar to what you've done?
Yeah, I would say if you have an idea, we get these inspired thoughts where we go, oh, I'm going to do that. I'm so excited about this. Maybe not like that. Maybe that's just me. Right? And then what happens after that moment? Many times people will either talk themselves out of it, like they'll be like, oh, yeah, oh, last time. Oh, yeah, I don't have time right now for that. I'm just going to put that on the shelf. Don't. I would say when you get that inspired thought, it came from the universe. And if it's an, like, say, a business idea, and you're like, no, not right now, I'm busy or whatever. 6 months down the road, you might see your business idea in like that's unfolded. And you're like, oh my God, that was my idea. That's right, because that was given to six people and they took action and you did not. So take action, write it down. If you get a thought and you're like, I want to do that, don't tell the people that are going to talk you out of it. It's like if you're a smoker and you want to quit smoking and your friends are like, oh, you're not going to quit. You can't. Come on, let's go for a smoke. Because if you quit smoking, what does that do for them? Now they got to quit, or someone's going to be bugging them. It makes them, puts them. So if you don't change, they don't have to change, and all is well.
Yeah, I mean, I know people that have talked about things for years and nothing ever changes. And I think it's that getting past that fear of failure, because some of the most successful people in the world have failed many times, but it doesn't stop them.
No, failure is just a lesson. As you just get up, you try it again. Oh, not that way. Maybe over here, maybe another way. Yeah, just like we're so afraid to make a mistake. Just so what? Who cares? Like it's all that's on you. And we look at what other people are going to think about us. Otherwise, we wouldn't care. Like, because what, right? Why do we care if we fail if it's just on us? If we're the only ones that are going to be judging us, which we are, right? That voice in your head is never your friend. You would never pick somebody like that. You'd be like, get out of here. You can't be my friend. You're too mean.
Exactly. Now, there's a lot of ways to follow you and consume you on social media. I'm going to put them in the show notes so people can easily find you. But what's the best way for somebody to reach out and consume what you're putting out there?
So my worm website is probably, if they're wanting, a whole sustainable life, worms and laughter, everything's there. It's kathyscomposters.com or kathysclub.com for the laughter.
Very good. Well, hey, Kathy, thank you for your time today. Thank you for coming on. How soon can we expect to see you doing your stand-up comedy? When's that show going to be on Comedy Central?
Oh my gosh. Ooh, no pressure.
No,
Oh, I
none,
would.
none.
Yeah, I would love yeah, Comedy Central, if you're listening, contact me. We do need more women comics. I believe that we do need more women speaking out.
Absolutely. And there's some great ones. I mean, there's some, I just like, and if somebody's funny, I like to listen to them. That's my thing.
Absolutely. Thank
All
you.
right.
Yes.
Well, listen, thank you so much. And look forward to following you and seeing that comedy sometime.
Thank you, George. I
All
appreciate
right.
it.
Thank you so much for listening to today's Tell Us How to Make It Better podcast. All the information to get in touch with Kathy is in the show notes. And there's also a contact form there if you have any ideas for future guests that you would like to see, or any thoughts about something that you've listened to in the past, just fill out that form. I would love to hear from you. Thanks again for listening. See you next time.